Hi, Rodeo fans. You're listening to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Put your hands together for this next cowboy. He has written his last 7 moves, and tonight he's gonna try and make it 8.
Here comes the bull down.
Good afternoon, rodeo fans and Making 8 maniacs. That's right. It is time for the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here on the Making 8 Rodeo Network. And, wow, let me tell you guys, we've got a great show lined up. But before we get into it, look who decided to join us right here today, hanging out with us on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. If it is none other than our good friend, Mr. Marty Hill. So we got to send a big shout-out to you and all of our fans tuning in right now. Man, I got to tell you, today is going to be a great show. We've got a special guest lined up. If you guys have been following us on Twitter or Facebook this morning, you know that it's none other than one of the PBR co-founders, as well as a PRCA world champion bull rider, Cody Custer, is going to be joining us. Now, I've had an opportunity to meet Cody. I've talked to him throughout the years, and this guy is a great guy to talk with. What an inspiration he is. So we really want to share that with you. We want you guys to get a good understanding of him before you guys head out to Las Vegas and hang out with him at the Heroes and Legends reunion, which will be going on that Tuesday and Wednesday before the PBR World Finals. So make sure to do that. But this is going to give you an opportunity to sit back. If you guys have questions or comments for Cody, we'll be happy to take them. And, you know, it's going to be a great show. It's Friday. How about that? I'm telling you, cannot wait for the weekend. And we've actually got a 3-day weekend, as this is Columbus Day as well, or will be on Monday. So we'll be celebrating then. I know a lot of folks will be off work, and hopefully you'll be able to tune in right here because we will be bringing you another Lunch Hour Rodeo Show coming up Monday, 11 o'clock Central Time. And if you fans are tuned in right now, want to come over and chat, and you're signed on as a guest, or you're not real sure how that works, well, all you got to do is sign on. You can sign on using your Facebook or Twitter. Should give you your screen name, and you can come on down here and talk to us. Wow, looks like we've got a few of our regulars in. Of course, it would be none other than the lovely Kat Johnson joining us, as well as Miss Paige Gregory. Now, I did not have an opportunity to talk with Paige, but since she is here in our chat room, I'm going to have to ask her if she can jump on board here and give us a little bit of our Nashville report. I've got a friend that's heading out there this weekend, and I know that he's tuning in, and well, shoot, he might just want to find out what's going on up there in Nashville. So if you guys want to give us a call, I do want to remind you guys, phone lines are open, 646-915-9940. You guys can call us there. Questions, comments, and, of course, always good cowboy logic. We'd love to hear from you. Do have our chat room open for our guests that are over there. You should be able to sign on. It's not the easiest in the world to figure it out, but once you get it, you will get it. You can come on down here and chat with us. As we're hanging out in the chat room, we'll let you guys throw your questions or your comments out there as well. This weekend, big weekend, heading to Waco, Texas tomorrow. Going to spend some time down there with some of our Making 8 fans. As, you know, luck would have it, they are going to be down there for a fair and rodeo. And so we're going to be heading down that way, taking the whole Making 8 Maniac family crew down there. And, yeah, it should be a good day. But we're kind of in uncharted territories here. Now, this is our first year living out here in Oklahoma. I've heard about it, but it really didn't start to sink in until this week. The Red River Rival, Texas-Oklahoma. That's right. Texas Longhorns, OU, the Boomer Sooners. Now, I will tell you, when I originally came out here in January, we kind of got recruited to be a Cowboys fan, OSU. But for this weekend, I'm thinking we're going to be pulling for the Oklahoma Sooners because there's just that big state interstate rivalry between Texas and Oklahoma. I think we're going to have to go with the Boomer Sooners. So we'll have to see. We got a good song coming up here during our break when we take that. But like I said, we are looking for our wonderful Nashville report from the lovely Miss Paige Gregory. So we'll see if we can get her on here in a little bit. We've got a great guest. The legendary Cody Custer is going to be joining us here today. Man, we have had a lot of guests here. And if you guys missed our shows this week, make sure to go back on Blog Talk. You can find the archives there. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to sit down with Anna Hunt and Allie D, two girls from Texas Women. And we had an opportunity to sit back and talk with them, and that was a lot of fun. And earlier this week, we had Clint Brangard. You know, there's so many guys, Branger. We had so many of these folks that are going to be out there for the Heroes and Legends deal that the PBR is putting on. Man, it's just fantastic. It's really good that we have so many of the fans tuned in right now that can jump on board and listen in and get to know some of these guys, get to know them on a personal level. You know, that's what it's all about. That's why we are here to bring it to you. But it is Friday, so let's get things fired up. We're going to take a short break here, guys. Want to let you all have a few words with our good friend, Mr. Rob Smets and Ariat. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show on the Making 8 Rodeo Network.
And whether you're riding a bronc or roping a steer, you need boots you can count on. Only Ariat boots provide you the support, stability, and comfort you can rely on day in and day out. Ariat's four levels of technology allow you to pick the boot that gives you the maximum support for your best performance. And the variety of styles, colors, and premium leathers let you pick a boot that suits your personal style. When your performance needs to be top-notch, be sure you're wearing Ariat, the brand that'll keep you on your feet when the going gets tough. Visit a store near you and try Ariat boots today to experience the difference.
$100 smoking in my billfold. I know I ought to save it, but it's burning a hole right in my
right. It is Friday right here on the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show. We're just a few hours away from kicking off a three-day weekend, and we're glad to have you guys on board right here with the Making Eight Rodeo Network. And I do want to remind you guys as well, come on over here to MakingEight.com and check us out as we have our weekly radio shows, 11 o'clock Central Time, as well as our live video broadcast that we do from time to time. So we will keep you updated there on MakingEight.com, on our Facebook page, on our Twitter page. Man, I'm telling you, we've got it all. So come on over here, hang out with us, and join the party. But we do have a good guest lined up. But before we do have to have our Nashville report coming to you every Friday by the one and only Miss Paige Gregory. So, Paige, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Ready for the weekend?
Yeah, I'm ready for the weekend. I'm taking a break from school for a little bit to hang out with some friends, watch radio, and have a good time.
Well, there you go. Sounds like fun. Now, there's only two more weekends left in the PBR Built Ford Tough Series before the finals. And,
oh, no.
So you're going to be watching that, huh?
Yeah, I'll be watching. I'm not going to the PBR finals, but I'm attending the last 3 days of the NFR finals for my first time.
Wow, great, great. So what's going on in Nashville?
Well, just recently we got over two big conventions in Nashville, which was the Bluegrass Festival Convention and then IEVA, which stands for International Entertainment Buyers Association. It's where, like, all the big country music stars in Nashville, like, perform for buyers and everything. And we just got done with that. It was a lot of fun. There's some new venues that are opening up. And we actually got to talk to Calgary Stampede. They put on a meeting and stuff. We got to meet the entertainment buyer, the guy that puts on the rodeos and everything. So it was a lot of fun actually meeting the people that, like, put on the Calgary Stampede and, like, to see what it's like and how long it takes for them to set up and stuff. And, like, the Hank Williams Jr. thing, it's like a big stir-up in Nashville right now. But the way that I look at it is they should know that he talks about that stuff, you know, because it's, like, it's a style of music. He sings about stuff he likes, and if he doesn't like it, you're going to hear about it. But I don't know what's going to happen about that, if they're going to find somebody else to sing the Monday Night Football Anthem or just leave it be. I think it's pretty cool that Trey Phil's coming out with a new song at the CMA, so I'm pretty excited to hear about that. I do like the song she sang with George Strait on his new album. It's pretty good. So what do you think about the music business, like, right now, like, all the new country music that's coming out? Like, do you like it, or do you wish it would go back to the old stuff?
Well, you know, I really wish we could get some of these newer artists to kind of go back and remember the roots of country and really go back to where they came from. And of course, you know, we've seen a lot of that in guys like Alan Jackson, you know, and
yeah.
George Strait. They'll do a lot of those. Those are the type of guys that I really, you know, can't wait to hear from with their new albums, you know, things like that, because they do kind of go back to the way things used to be. And they remember where they came from.
I'll agree.
It's very similar to what has been going on in the rodeo industry in the world of bull riding, you know? A lot of these guys have never seen some of that. They've never had to experience playing in these local honky-tonks. They, you know, auditioned for American Idol and got these record labels, and boom, they're out there, you know? They don't for what it was like, because they didn't never have to experience that.
Exactly.
During this
convention, there was a meeting I went to about, like, all these new country music songwriters that, like, it doesn't take them that long to make a number one hit before the they came along. The older stars had, you know, it took them forever to make a number one hit. It's just crazy how, like, the social media works these days, how you can make a number one hit in, like, just a couple weeks, you know? It's just so different than, like, back then, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, things are a lot different from the way they were. I mean, I'm not saying that it's necessarily a bad thing. I'm just saying that, a lot of the guys, though, you know, they don't have that passion. I really think that a lot of the newer artists miss a lot of that passion. You take Fresno,
I agree.
The guy, you know, if you take a guy, for instance, like Chris Ledoux, one of the all-time rodeo legends, you know, world champion, you know, this guy sang about what he knew, the life
that
he actually lived. And it's hard nowadays. Those guys are very talented, but they don't have that passion, you know,
because they
don't live that life. They just sing about it. And that, to me, you can tell from the ones that did live that life or do live that life from the ones that don't. So that's just
But I got to say, which I was kind of shocked at this convention, that there was actually a DJ there, and he's on tour with Jason Aldean right now, opening up the shows and stuff. And what shocked me was he actually played a Chris Ledoux song, you know. It was really cool to hear a Chris Ledoux song, you know, at this convention. And it was like, who's that guy, you know, who's singing this song? Like, when they found out, like, his word got around, seven people, like, wanted to hear more of his music, so the DJ played more of his music, which is pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, that's awesome. That really is, you know. I mean, just to have a guy been up and down that road and sang about his life, really, you know.
Yeah.
He tells a story each time, and it is so much fun. And guys like myself that are on the road, you know, on the highway, you know, listening to a tune of his can say, wow, I can, you know, I remember this time, or you know, I remember when me and my buddies were traveling together like that, you know, I mean, it really, and that's what country music to me is all about.
A guy to look out for, like, I actually saw him for the first time at this convention. His name's Tyler Farr. He's really, really good. Like, they say he has, like, a Vince Gill edge of voice, and I could see that in him, in his voice. And, like, he puts on a great show. Like, he holds everyone's attention singing, like, real country music.
Yeah, awesome.
Have you heard of
him? That's great. I have not, but we'll have to keep our ears open for him, for sure.
Yeah, y'all have to keep your ears open for him.
Most definitely. Well, Paige, listen, I certainly appreciate you taking the time to jump on board here with us and give us a little bit of the Nashville report. And obviously, we look forward to having you back on here with us next Friday and checking in.
Yes.
And,
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Make sure that you enjoy your weekend off.
Thank you.
Are you going to have a 3-day weekend? Or yes, right. If Columbus Day, no school Monday, right?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Monday. Yeah, I'll have Monday off. Like, I have some stuff to do. I have to start packing. I'm heading to Perry, Georgia. We're producing all the entertainment there. And then I'll get ready to go to Rocky Mountain, then Vegas and Iowa here pretty soon.
Good deal. Well, yeah, if you're going to be down in Perry, you're going to be right down there in my aunt's neck of the woods. So make sure to stop by and say hi.
Okay.
All right, then we'll catch up with you next Friday. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. See ya.
All right. Bye. Of course, that was Miss Paige giving us our lovely Nashville report, and we've got to thank her for that. Great opportunity. I'm telling you, phone lines are open, 646-915-9940. We do look to have our guest on here any minute, so as soon as we get him on board, we'll bring him on. Going to be great times. But before we do, let's take a quick word from a good buddy, Mr. Brett Weldon.
Howdy, folks. It's radio announcer Brett Weldon, inviting you to join us at Making8.com. No matter if you're passing his tying a calf in less than 8 seconds or staying aboard to the back of a mad bucker for 8 seconds, we got you covered. If it's happening in the rodeo arena, it's happening right here. That's Making8.com. Get a grip.
That's right. Welcome back to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show right here on the Making 8 Rodeo Network. And we are fired up on a Friday, getting ready to head down to Texas territory. I'm telling you, it's a good thing that I don't have any Oklahoma University stuff, because I don't think this would be the right weekend to be down in Texas wearing it. But it is going to be a great weekend. It is the Red River Rivalry Weekend. And got so much going on here between Oklahoma and Texas. And, of course, we're kind of right on that borderline there. We're only a couple hours away. We'll be down there in Waco, Texas this weekend and really looking forward to that. You guys make sure to stay tuned to your Facebook and your Twitter, and we'll get some great pictures posted up this weekend of us getting to hang out with some of the fans that are out there. It'll be the first time. You know, we've had so many of you fans on board with us for the past year, and it's going to be amazing to be able to actually have the opportunity to meet you guys firsthand. So we are really looking forward to that. And, of course, we're going to get a chance to sit back and watch some great rodeo this weekend right down there in Waco, Texas as well. So lots going on. PBR, it's going to be in Hartford, Connecticut this weekend. And, you know, the Bulls are going to be ranked. There's no fantasy picks, so going to make it kind of tough. Obviously, congratulations to Miss Donna Davis for winning our year-end fantasy draft buckle that we've had out there. So we'll be giving that to her as soon as that comes in. And we're going to have to make another trip down to Wichita Falls to go say howdy to her and make sure she gets that buckle. So, yeah, it's going to be a great opportunity. We should be getting Cody on board here with us anytime now. And as soon as we get him on board with us, we'll bring him on the show and sit back and get to know somebody who's going to be down there for the Heroes and Legends, one of the founders of the PBR. And, man, I'm telling you, he has got a lot to say. He really is. He's the type of guy that you really just want to get to know. So I can promise you that. But do want to let you guys know, phone lines are open, 646-915-9940. If you want to talk with us, make sure to push 1 on your phone. In the meantime, we are going to bring on Steve. We're going to bring on the guy that we have been talking about. You've heard, seen the post out there. Seen a lot from this guy here recently, but definitely one that I think we could all learn from. And this guy is a not just a hero and a legend to the for the sport of bull riding, but he is also a leader. He leads by example. Great man, great Christian, and we're going to bring him on board right now, world champion Cody Custer. Cody, welcome to the Lunch Hour Rodeo Show.
Hello, Scott. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Good. Well, first off, I just want to let you know, Cody, that we are continuing to send prayers to you and your family, as I know this has not been the easiest of times here over the last couple months, but we are still sending prayers for you, partner.
Yes, sir. We lost our oldest son on August 16th in a car wreck, and it's been a pretty tough time. But at the same time, we've been really leaning on the Lord and a lot of people around us. So it's been good. As far as you can say that, it's something I wouldn't wish on anyone, but. It's what we've been dealt, and we're just we're dealing with it through giving God His place in all of it. So that's kind of how we're dealing with it. So thank you for the prayers and stuff. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Cody. Absolutely. Well, you've got a pretty big month coming up here. Now, there's been a lot of things. Your name has been mentioned on PBRNow.com quite a bit here recently, but you're actually going to be here at the Heroes and Legends reunion coming up at the end of this month at the PBR World Finals, correct?
Yeah, Scott, it's kind of been something that I think all of us have been looking forward to. Just in the sport of bull riding, you build relationships with guys that are on the road, and then all of a sudden their career is over, and some of them, there's some of them that I'll see that I haven't seen since they quit going to the bull ridings, and vice versa. So it's pretty exciting, and there's been some of those guys I've kept in contact with that I'll be seeing out there, but there are several that I haven't seen for years, and I know everybody's real excited about it. I don't even know the tally on how many guys have confirmed that they're going to be there, but it's going to be pretty awesome. I'm excited to be a part of that.
Absolutely. Well, that list just keeps growing. I mean, it seems like every day PBRNow.com posting out more and more of the guys who really helped build this sport and make, bull riding what it is today, guys like yourself, are going to be out there for this. And we're just really looking forward to it. I know they're also going to be awarding some of the guys outside of bull riding but have also impacted the sport of bull riding and the PBR, guys like Rob Smith. He's going to be receiving the Jim Shoulders Award this year.
Yeah, and that, Rob's one of the guys that I've had a long-standing relationship with. He was married to my aunt when I was younger, and so he's always kind of been Uncle Rob to me. But we got to room together the last few years that I rode bulls, and then the last couple of years he was being a bullfighter, we roomed together as I was going and judging events. So So we built a pretty strong relationship, and we talked to each other, you know, sometimes two or three times a week, sometimes a couple weeks we miss, but he's a good friend of mine and very, very deserving of the Jim Shoulders Award, just a guy that's really impacted the whole sport, and so I'm looking forward to being there for that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I know it's going to be a great time, and I don't think there's anybody more deserving of it. I actually just got the opportunity to run into Rob down there in Eastland, Texas this past weekend, as he was announcing, so... man, what a great guy he is. But let's talk a little bit about your career and what is actually bringing you to the Heroes and Legends reunion. Not only are you one of the founders of the PBR, but you have also made quite a name, you know, for yourself in the bull riding community as a, you know, world champion and things like that. When did you actually get started riding bulls?
Well, you know, my dad tried his hand at being a bull rider when I was young, and he might have quit just about the time I was born, just because he saw there was really really wasn't a benefit in him going and trying to pursue bull riding, just due to back at that time, 1965, that was bull riding, the top earners weren't making a whole lot of money, so he had to choose between being a cowboy or making a living, and he chose that. And and, you know, and that's where, you know, looking back that far back, that's where really my passion for the whole sport is. It's exciting to see what the opportunities that are out there in front of these young guys that want to put their hand to the plow and, you know, make what they can out of their careers. And, you know, one of the things that I do see in the sport that has changed a lot is that careers are going to be shorter because of the you know, they're getting on 35 weekends a year of the best bulls on the planet, so it's a whole different ball game. And, but on the other side of that, they can make it, you know, they can make a lot of money and put some money away in the process. And back when I was doing it, you know, you kind of even if you were winning a lot, it was a lot back then was just enough to keep you going. And so it's the opportunities out there to for guys to really have an impact on their future. So
sure, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you've accomplished. And you know, you started really competing and riding on the PRCA circuits back in around 1980s, mid-1980s anyways. Made the NFR six consecutive years in a row, actually winning a world champion in 1992, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, and back to your first question, I kind of got a little off track. I started riding calves when I was 5 years old and rode steers all the way up till about 2 weeks before my 14th birthday, and I got on my first junior bull then. And so that's kind of when that's kind of how my career started. And then through high school and 1 year of college, I went to several bull riding events and stuff like that. And then I bought my PRCA permit my senior year of high school and just kind of started from there. So 1985 was my first year of full-time competition in the PRCA. I quit college and went after my dreams of being a professional bull rider, and fortunately for me, it worked out pretty good.
Certainly. Now, when you first started out there, who did you travel with?
Well, you know, I didn't have any set guys that I traveled with throughout my career. The first year, 1985, there was a guy named Lewis Barnes from Kansas that I met at the high school finals in 1983, and Lewis and I traveled together for about a year, and we had some guys off and on that kind of jumped in with us and stuff. And, you know, it just, I never did have a set bunch of guys that I traveled with. I got to travel with Beaver Jernigan a little bit and a guy named Jeff Crockett, who was, unfortunately was killed in 1988 in a bull riding accident. And so I had a few different guys that I traveled with. And, 1987 was the first year I qualified for the national finals, and I I pretty much just kind of went here and there with different guys and didn't really have a set guy, and came back again in 1988 and kind of did the same thing. I didn't have one set guy that I traveled with. In 1989, I got the privilege to travel with Ted Nuss and pretty much spent the whole year with Ted, world champion in 1985. So I learned a lot of stuff from Ted, and guys like Glenn McElvain, Bobby Del Vecchio were there that were, you know, I got to travel with them some too. But I think Ted probably had the biggest influence on my riding, and at the same time he helped me with my spiritual side of my life, and so, you know, it's it was a pretty good career. I think 1980 or 1992, I got it was a real privilege to get to travel with a kid named Jerome Davis, who first time I saw him was at Dos Amigos in Odessa, Texas. And when I saw that kid ride, I knew he was going to be special. And so I got to rodeo with him. That was his rookie year, the year I won the championship. And I also got to travel with David Fournier that year. And I think those two guys had a great impact on me being world champion that year. So. Lots of names. I mean, Art Watson's another guy that was big in my life, you know, as far as traveling guys to travel with. And then at the end of my career, I got to travel with Corey Navarre, and Corey was kind of a young up and comer, and it was fun to travel with a young guy because I was kind of getting old, and it helped me. I guess I got to credit Corey for making the NFR the last year I made it in 1999. He refused to quit entering me. I tried to get him to stop entering me because I was ready to go home. And I ended up winning Cheyenne and then won a few thousand the week after. And I qualified for the national finals by less than $600. So Corey's pretty instrumental in me going to the NFR the last time I went.
Wow. That's interesting. Now, you and I have had the opportunity to meet, and we actually met last year. We were at a Gary LaFue bull riding school up down there in Texas, and we had an opportunity to talk. Back then, I was actually living in Florida, and you had a pretty interesting story about that. I figured we got to throw it out there, but you were actually traveling to a rodeo down there, ended up hitchhiking. Isn't that right?
Oh, yeah. You know, when you're rodeoing, there's all kinds of things that come up that are kind of out of your control, kind of like life. And you just got to kind of improvise. And at the time, we were, Lewis Barnes and I were rodeoing together, and neither one of us had credit cards. And we got on a plane, and the guys that were supposed to pick us up when we landed weren't there because the plane was a little bit late, and they were in the bareback riding. So they left us at the airport in Orlando, and we were going to Arcadia, which is only – I don't know, it's probably 80 miles or 90 miles, something like that. But it took us five different rides to get to the rodeo, and we made it. They were running barrels. They had bulls loaded when we got there, and I got bucked off quick, and Lewis won about $600. So we were back in the swing of things, and we caught a ride back to New Orleans with Robert Ettbauer and anyway, we got to ride back to Louisiana and sleep all the way. So it was good. But a lot of good memories. I mean, you know, those are things at the time. At the time, it wasn't such a good memory. But looking back on it, I wouldn't trade it for anything. And you know, I don't recommend hitchhiking down through Florida, but it's a memory that will never escape my mind and a part of who I am. And it just stuff like that. You remember things like that make you glad that you got to be a part of that and be involved in it. So.
You bet. Well, yeah, so you got to watch out for those Florida guys down there. There's some strange ones, aren't they?
They were pretty helpful to us. The one guy, the last ride we got, he drove about 85 miles an hour to get us there, and we barely made it, so I was pretty thankful to him.
There you go. I hear you. Well, you know, Cody, that's one of the things that has been mentioned a lot here recently with, you know, some of the things going on with the PBR. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it's something that's really important with the way the game is played nowadays, you know. that a lot of these cowboys don't have that. They don't get that privilege to experience that, but yet they get so many other privileges that weren't around when you were there. For instance, the money and the traveling, the means of traveling to the
yeah.
field.
Well, if you're referring to the locker room, the riders meeting incident where I spoke, I'll come at that from a direction that, you know, I've really thought about this whole thing, and don't get me wrong, I wasn't going in there to try to bash on anybody for anything. I attended the bull riding in Billings, Montana, and I was working up there, and I there was some things going on in the locker room that, to me, I felt like was the atmosphere that was in the locker room was just that kind of an atmosphere of, there wasn't excitement in the air. Those guys weren't happy to be there. There were some complaints going on about this and that and having to get on more bulls and blah, blah, blah. And I left Billings feeling, well, on the other hand, where I was at with the bullfighters, the Brazilians locker room was right next to that, and there was laughter going on in there. It was just an upbeat. So I left there feeling a little bit concerned with what I feel like it could be part of the problem of what's going on with some of these young guys that are on the tour. So anyway, I went in there, and the first thing I did is I thanked them all for the prayers that they'd been given for my family with our situation with my son being killed, and you know, and then I went right into telling them that I was in the locker room at Billings, and I just felt it was actually a tangible feeling in there that there was just kind of suppression or whatever you want to call it. It just didn't feel good, and that's what all I was trying to tell them is you guys' job is to be bull riders, and what I feel like that's done, what that was doing was it was causing their focus not to be on being bull riders, and so. Basically, I just told them that, and I went back to the beginning of the PBR and how back when we started at Guthrie, Oklahoma, we paid $1,000 entry fees. Each guy wrote a check for $1,000, and Lazy E or whoever it was matched it. So we were riding. There was 30 of us, and we were riding at $60,000. We all paid $1,000 with the chance to win 10. So,
wow.
And my point was, hey. This started from where this started. A lot of you guys don't even know, and you don't really understand how great you guys have. This is the greatest time in the history of the sport of bull riding to be a bull rider. Right now is. I was in probably the second best time to be a bull rider when all this started. So all I was trying to do is just come from a guy that's been seen the beginning and see what it looks like now. And I was just trying to inspire them and encourage them. To me, I feel like the Brazilians' locker room and the Brazilians' mentality is what ours was at the time when the whole PBR started. And really, all I was trying to do is just tell these guys, hey, up your game a little bit. Get your focus off all the things that can be a distraction from being a bull rider and be bull riders. That was my whole point. Now, I don't know where it all went wrong other than there's two situations. The speech that I gave in the writers meeting was one of a heartfelt deal. There also was an article that came out the next week, which in that article, I never questioned any athletic ability. I never questioned any, you know, the word sissy never came out of my mouth. What I did say, I did question a lot of guys having the umph to go ahead and get the job done. That's basically what I questioned, and so anyway, with all the posts on Facebook and all that stuff, a bunch of people jump on the bandwagon and go to slamming these young guys. Well, in no way did I ever intend for it to be that. Which whatever, I'm not trying to justify anything that was said there. The guys that were in the locker room, everybody that was in the locker room. They know what the spirit was behind what I said. It got a little twisted, and, you know, I hurt somebody's feelings, I guess. Hopefully it did what I intended, to have these guys, you know, up the ante. There's a few guys that didn't need to hear it, and they took it as, okay, But there's some guys that did need to hear it, and some of them took it for what it was, and some of them got it out of context and tried to turn it around and get the focus off of them onto me, whatever. Everybody's got to decide how they're going to handle things. I personally have been in a position where I needed somebody to straight up me and look me in the face and say, hey, you going to be a bull rider or are you going to have your focus? I had a friend of mine, Alan Jordan, did that for me. Looked me right in the eyes, and he goes, you need to quit worrying about all this other stuff and focus on bull riding because you're riding like crap. Guess what it did for me? I didn't hate Alan Jordan for it. I probably never have thanked him for it, but it changed my whole mode of bull riding. So.
Sure. And that's something that we see a lot with the Brazilians. You know, the minute that these guys are out there by the outgate, those guys are talking to them, and they're talking to each other. And, of course, I don't speak Portuguese, so I can't directly say what it is that they're saying, but you can tell by the reaction that some of those guys, that they're coaching them. I mean, they're
right.
supporting you,
right.
saying, hey, that wasn't a good bull ride for you. You can do better than that, you know? And
yeah.
you see guys like Adriano back up there being that leader for them. And, you know, you don't see a whole lot of that amongst the American riders, and I'll be the one to point that out. I mean, it's just something that we as fans and we as, you know, somebody who's been around the sport long enough,
right.
would say that you don't see that. When I had my traveling partner, that's what we did. So
right.
We made you see the spire for 15, 20 minutes after you bucked off, but then you realize that you weren't mad at him for saying it. You're mad at yourself
right.
for doing it.
Well, let me say this, too. Here's another angle to look at it from. And I mean, I've looked at this whole thing because my biggest deal in this, I don't want to lose influence with the guys that I have influence with just because I said something that might have upset a few of them, and those guys may never give me a place in their life again, which whatever. But the thing is they're this generation of bull riders is facing more pressure than my generation faced. They got cameras in their face all the time. They got, you know, they got 35 weeks of getting on bucking bull, you know, great bucking bulls every week. They got fans just all over them. They got, you know, there's all kinds of distractions out there. So I'm not saying, you know, there's guys in my era that made it that if they'd had this kind of attention, it would have blown them up. They wouldn't have made it. So I'm not saying anything. I'm just, my whole point was is get your focus back on being bull riders. To me, to me, honestly, a lot of them guys are more, some of those guys are more excited about being a rock star or being a star than they are being a bull rider. And so I don't, you know, to me, I'm a guy that, I have some influence with some guys, and here's what I figured out about the whole thing. Guys that haven't given me any kind of place in their life, they took it the wrong way, and guys that have given me some kind of place in their life, they took it for what it was. And, you know, I can't say I'm sorry I said it. I'm sorry it got taken out of context, and I'm sorry that all the surrounding stuff made it look worse than it did, but whatever. If this does what I intended to, you know, to inspire those guys to step up to greatness. Here's the thing. Some guys need to have greatness pulled out of them. You
yep.
see what I'm saying? Some guys, most everybody has greatness in them, but some of them aren't going to find it until it gets pulled out of them. And sometimes pulling it out of them is not pleasant and it's not pretty. Sometimes you got to get, my son or both of my boys, you know, when Aaron was still with us, we had a lot of discussions about his roping and stuff. Now I don't know everything about roping, but I do know about winning. And so we had a lot of conversations about that. If I see a glitch in my kid's armor and I have an answer for it, am I going to sit back and let him keep banging his head against the wall? No, I'm not. And that was the whole thing with these young guys. They, you know, they're all young. They're all athletic. They all love bull riding. I never questioned that. I know they love bull riding. How could they not? But
yeah.
I just saw the fact that the focus was on other things besides being bull riders. And not every guy, I mean, you can see the guys that are focused on being bull riders, and you can see the guys that aren't. And sometimes it's just having heck. You're having heck and you're riding, so you're fighting it. You're trying hard. You're doing everything you can do. And I say go back to the basics of bull riding. Go get on some jump kickers and get your head right and get your body in jive with your head and come back and kick their butt at the big, you know, at the big time. So
that's right. Well, listen,
anyway,
go
ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I'm good. Go ahead. I talk too much.
No, that's all right, Cody. Listen, this is really great. You know, this is something that I think the fans have really been looking to hear from. You know, and I hopefully there's a lot of bull riders that are taking this conversation and really listening in on it, because it does inspire us. You know, it inspires us all. And you and I had the opportunity to meet up down there at Gary LaFuse, and you know his mentality, and you know just that training that you need. You've got to feed off of each other, and I believe that is your sole intent was to inspire those guys. I really hope that it worked, and I think that we may see some of that come out, hopefully here, you know, within the next couple of weeks on PBR finals. But,
yeah.
You know, one thing that you pointed out was these guys are getting on some of the rankest stock. Let's talk about that for a second. How much would you say, you know, really comes down to these guys, you know, getting on some of the best stock? Going back, you've been on bulls like Little Yellow Jacket, Mossy Oak Mudslinger, Scat Cat, Blueberry Wine, you know, Promised Land. You know,
yeah.
I mean, what would you say, you know, compared to the bulls that you had out there then, you know, bulls like that compared to the bulls like, you know, now, like Bushwhacker and Asteroid and those bulls?
I mean, it's all the same. They're the rankest bulls in the business right now, and those guys are, you know, those guys are all talented. If you get there, you're talented. You know what I'm saying? If you're on the Bill Ford Tough, you're a talented guy. The thing is the mentality that you go at it with is going to be the deciding factor. And you know, I've talked to Ryan Dirt Eater some, and I told Ryan some things that I think are gonna be helpful for him, because you know, just he's a guy that I have influence in his life. He'll listen to me. He's asked me some questions. And you know, there's some of those guys, they've never really given me any place to speak in their lives, and that's probably where, you know, that's probably where the bitterness or whatever came from, me speaking up and saying anything. And but you know, so I just think those guys, the mentality that you go into it with better be the mentality of, this is what I do for a living, and I'm going to do what it takes to get the job done. And you know, I've gotten hammered over that too, you know, talking about hanging on until you hit the ground. Well, you know what? I don't. If you take Austin Myers, he's gonna do that. Is he gonna pay for it? Sure he is. But he's a bull rider. His mentality is he's gonna get the job done. Some guys aren't willing to do that. That's fine. I made a living off of guys that weren't willing to finish the job. It's somebody's gonna make a living off of those guys, and so. Got to get the job done. Got to get a good training program. Got to have a good practice program, and have some people in your realm of influence that first of all know what they're talking about, and second of all care about you. And I see a lot of guys taking advice from guys that don't really know what they're talking about, but you got to decide who you're going to take advice from, and. You know, so I don't know. I probably got off subject again, but
no, you really haven't. But you know, and like I said, Cody, and it, you know, if somebody doesn't believe what you're saying, they can go back to just what was it last weekend or the weekend before. You had talked with Ryan Dirt Eater and had the opportunity to spend some time with him. Then he turns around and wins that next weekend.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
I'm not going to take credit for that. I'm not going to take credit for that. But Ryan had the bull ride and won. He didn't even have to stay on in the short go. And I looked at him. I looked at him right before, and I said, "You finish what you started. Don't win this thing by accident." Because sometimes a guy needs to. I don't know what he was thinking. I'm not saying he was going to fall off or jump off, but I said that to him because he needed to know. Finish the job and set a mark that you're here to win. And so, you know, it just, I've got a lot of opinions about a lot of things, and I don't, unless I'm asked, a lot of times I don't say, sometimes I may speak out of turn, a lot of times I try to keep quiet because I don't want to, offend somebody. And of course, it just shows right there that I did speak up and I offended some guys. And well, whatever. I hate that part of it, but at the same time, you know, if you know the business, it's been my whole life. I'm just trying to help things, trying to help different guys, and that's what I do. Schools all the time, and I got influence in young guys' lives. So my hopes are that in, you know, these boys in 10 or 12 years, 15 years, they're going to be riding for $5 million. The champs can get $5 million, but it all weighs on this generation of bull riders. If this generation of bull riders doesn't step up, there's a chance that bull riding goes away as a sport that's going to be like what we're talking about in the future. It'll still be around, but the greatness of the sport depends on this generation of bull riders, and that's what that's really where I was coming from.
Well, you know, like I said, Cody, that really is inspiring, and the fans are just eating it up. You know, we've got a lot of fans that are hanging out here in our chat room, and they're just loving what you have to say and really believe in what you're telling them. And I think even the fans should be aware of that, and maybe step out and say, listen, you know, you got to listen to a guy like Cody, and if you didn't like him, you need to find somebody like him, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you know, the other part of that, whose responsibility is it for these young guys to know? Well, it's our responsibility, the older generation. So somewhere along the way, bull riding's grown so fast and gotten so popular that, and then we've kind of just rode along with it and not really seeing what was coming. We have a responsibility to these young guys to help them understand where bull riding came from, what these guys' opportunities are, and help them with their riding and help them step up. And you know, I'm not saying there's a bunch of great guys out there that try their guts out that are making an impact on the sport, but there's some guys out there that have bought into the mentality that just being mediocre is okay, and I hate that for them because the sport could be the greatest sport on the planet, and at this point I don't see it being that, but it could
yes.
be.
Absolutely. Well, listen, you know, you were saying a lot that you work with a lot of the young kids and you really try to encourage them and coach them, bring them up and get them around the sport and riding the way they need to be and riding for what they need to be riding for, and that's the love of the game. What is some of the best advice that you can give some of the young bull riders or some of the young guys that are looking to get into the sport?
Well, my best advice, Here's my philosophy, and I know we're kind of running short on time, but the sport of bull riding has grown so fast that there's a lot of people have come into the sport that really don't have any idea of how the sport goes and how to train these young guys. Moms and dads are letting their kids ride bulls, and they don't really know what they're doing. And they're going to old Joe Blow's house that's got some born-to-buck type bulls, and they're putting them on these bulls that are 22, 23-point bulls, and their kids are getting wiped out. My advice, and this is just from a guy that saw how my career went and my generation of guys, we learned on Corianni buck roping steers, just Corianni type steers that had some timing. And like I said, I got on my first bull when I was 2 weeks short of my 14th birthday. And what I've seen is they're putting these 11, 12, 13-year-old kids on these born-to-buck type bulls, and they're never giving them a chance to learn the fundamentals of bull riding. And sure, they can ride one that spins with his head up and his butt down and stays one direction, but it's showing up now in the guys that are professional right now that can't handle a direction change because they never learned the foundational fundamental bull riding. And so jump kickers, riding a jump kicker, one that goes up and down, and learning how to ride him proper is the very basis of bull riding. It's just like a technique of swinging a baseball bat. You get the right technique. You get the wrong technique, your whole career is going to be screwed up unless you can get it changed. But in the very beginning, if you get the right training, then you're going to have the right swing your whole career. That's my beliefs, and that's what I continue to try to educate these parents and these young kids of, hey, don't get him past Don't get him ahead of himself. Help him step the ladder. All these junior rodeo associations and bull riding associations, they're doing an injustice to the young boys by not holding them back and letting them dominate at each level before they go to the next. Because all these bull men are, you know, they're wanting to have a bull of the year type of bull, and so they'll put any little kid on a bull of the year type, or, you know, a born a buck type bull, because they're just trying to get outs on their bulls. Not every guy's like that, but there's very few people that keep the right kind of animals around to help these kids. And so
right. That's
what I'm trying to do. Anytime I do a school, and it's real hard to get those kind of bulls that are just jump kickers, ones that they can learn the basic principles. And it's really kind of beyond some of them kids to back up, and to their detriment. They need to back up just a touch and go the other way for a minute and figure out how to ride the jump kickers, because guess what Bushwhacker does? He jumps and kicks.
That's right.
He jumps and kicks.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's
right.
Spinning, but if the concern is all about the spin, there's no way you're going to get him rode. You got to ride the jump and kick before you ride the spin. And so
that's the thing.
The greatest bull in the world has the same value, or a rope and steer has the same value as the bucking bull, you know, the best bull on the planet right now. The best two bulls on the planet, they jump and kick.
That's it.
They're turning back, but they're jumping and kicking. If you don't learn how to ride the jump and kick, the spin's going to get you every time.
Wow. Man, those are great words. Cody, I got to tell you, man, we are fresh out of time, but I so appreciate having you on this show, man. This has been fantastic, and we certainly have to do it again sometime.
You bet, anytime.
Want to wish you the best of luck out there. I know it's going to be a lot of fun for you to be able to spend time with those guys that you haven't had the opportunity to meet down there at the Heroes and Legends. And, well, shoot, I think some of the fans are going to really enjoy spending that time with you. And I encourage each and every one of them to get over to meet you, because you're such an inspiration, like I said, not only as a bull rider, but as a father, as a husband, as a Christian. You know, you're just great to be around, and your influence has inspired me.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to the reunion and seeing everybody that shows up.
Absolutely. All right, Cody. Well, listen, we will catch up with you again. Make sure to be blessed, and we'll continue to keep you and your family in our prayers.
Thanks. God bless you, Scott.
Right. All right, guys. World champion Cody Custer laying it on the line and telling us all how it is. But guess what, guys? That is going to wrap up our show here today for a Friday. We do have cowboy logic to give you, and this is something that kind of falls along with what Cody was saying. You know, this is something that I kind of believe in, and it's courtesy of our biggest little fan, Miss Melanie Britton. But one of the things that she said to us, or sent to me today, was, life isn't always beautiful, but it's a beautiful thing. So think about it. Tell some of these bull riders that. They may not want to hear some of these things all the time, but guess what? They need it, you know? And it may not be the prettiest thing, just like Cody was saying, but it's something that has to be said. And I'm glad that Cody has stepped out to say it. And thank you so much for taking the time to jump on our show. We'll be back here Monday, rodeo fans, 11 o'clock Central Time. Who knows who we'll have on board. Until then, make sure to get a grip with the Make It Rodeo Network.
Thanks for tuning in with Make It 8. Happy trails, be blessed, and get a grip.
Welcome and listen in. Radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
If you want to feel those good vibrations coming from the joy that his love can bring, turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on. talk. Turn your radio on.
Wrangler National Finals Rodeo announcer Roger Mooney. When you get ready to get a grip and get explosive, get all of your bull riding info on Making8.com. Tune it in, rip off the knob, and let's get hide, hump, hooves, and horns. Making8 is a winner.